Blog Talk Radio.
All right, come on, Mouse.
Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest, after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith.
Welcome to the program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, BIBLE. I am your host, Christopher. During our program, please join us in our chat room where you can comment, ask questions, or discuss our program. You will find that on blogtalkradio.com/hallelujah-pete. You may email your questions at hallelujahpete@gmail.com. You may also send a text message to us with your questions or comments at area code 567-259-6043. Like us on our Facebook page at facebook.com/basic-instructions-before-leaving-earth, BIBLE. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
And I say again to all of this listening audience, hallelujah, praise the Lord, and thank you, Jesus, for another lesson in Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, BIBLE, the Bible. And I welcome you all to this house this evening, because tonight we will be studying again from the book of Revelations, and we will be looking at the end-era vision. Now, as a footnote, remember all lessons and instructions are taken from the Old King James Version of the Bible. Now, as this administrative note says, As a reminder, every 15 minutes, we will pause for questions and answers. And listen, I highly suggest, so boredom does not come into play, meaning that you are just listening and not taking part, have your Bibles open and have your pens and pencils ready for taking notes. Now, I want to once again take time to thank all of you for those comments, the feedback that you've been giving me. I'm using them. And as I am thanking you for this, I ask you to continue to give me those. Now, as the theme song for the show suggests, the question for the hour is this: are you standing on the promises of Jesus Christ or God? God said, "Keep therefore my commandments and do them, for this is your wisdom and understanding in the sight of all men, which shall hear all these commandments and shall say, surely you are wise and understanding about God." God said, "All of these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if you keep my commandments." And God said, "I will not fail thee or forsake thee as long as you do not disobey my commandments." So again, I ask you, listening audience, the question is, are you standing on the promises of God? Now to the study. We're going to go back into the book of Revelations with this background. We know that the seven seals have been broken, or we know that the seven seals have to be broken in order for the end to come. So these visions that I am sharing with you now are after that seventh seal has been opened or broken, and this is what will be displayed. Now, remember, we already realized that five of those seals have been broken to date. Seal 6 and seal 7 has not been broken. So that should be good news to us that we know that right now today, the end time is not yet. But as we go into this lesson, these are the visions that will come about after that seventh seal has been opened or broken. We're going to look at this instruction. It says, men won't repent regardless of the end times. That is our instruction. And the text we're taking that from is Revelation chapter 9, verse 20 and 21. And this is what the text says. Revelation chapter 9, verse 20 and 21. If you have your Bibles open, please read along with me. And it says, "And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk, neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, none of their thefts. So we are seeing that even though God has done what he's doing today in COVID-19, we are still having those who are around us that are unrepented. They are not concerned with what is going on. And this is what the book of Revelation is telling us is going to have a massive impact when the seventh seal is open. Now, to complement this saying, we're going to go to Genesis chapter 18 and see what the Old Testament says about this in a foretelling of it. This is what we're going to look at, Genesis chapter 18, verse 17, 20, 21, and 22, or 23. This is what the book of Genesis says. Chapter 18, verse 17 says, "And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do?" Verse 20 says, "And the Lord said, because of the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which is come unto me. And if not, I will know. And verse 23 says, and Abraham drew near and said, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? So we're seeing that even though the men did not repent, Abraham talked with God, and this God went all the way down to if there were 10 good men left, he would not destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. So that is the connection that we're making, where the instruction says men won't repent regardless of the end times. If you have any questions or any comments, please get them to me through the host, and we will answer them. And now we will go to the next instruction. The next instruction is the word of God is bittersweet, and it is taken from Revelation 10, verse 8 through 11. This is what the text says about the word of God is sweet and bitter. It's bittersweet. The text says, and the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, go and take the little book, which is open in the hand of the angel, which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went in unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again, because many people and nations before, many people and nations and tongues and kings. So what this is telling us is that the word of God, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible, is what we are referencing, and that we are going to need to prophesy again that information that is within it. Now let's go to Isaiah chapter 5 and see what the complement says in the Old Testament. Isaiah chapter 5, and we're going to be reading verse 13 and verse 20 in Isaiah chapter 5. And this is the complement to what we just read. Remember, the Old Testament and the New Testament should compare and agree. And that is the reason why we use to substantiate each of them by using the scripture for that. Now, Isaiah chapter 5, verse 13 says, therefore, my people are gone into captivity because they have no knowledge. Their honorable men are famished, and their multitude dried up with thirst. And verse 20 says, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweeter and sweet for bitter. So what Isaiah is doing in his prophecy is telling us exactly what the revelator is telling us in the revelation, that the word of God, the lack of the knowledge of the word of God, more specifically, the knowledge of everlasting life in that word, is what we need to prophesy and share with one another until the end of time. Okay, again, we've finished this particular instruction, and I would beseech you to get information to me on what you think. And if you have any questions, please get them to me, or comments, so I can learn as well as teach and learn. That's the key. We are using both student and teacher as a sounding board so we can both get something out of this. So we're going to go to now the next instruction. The next instruction is called the judgment. And it is taken from the text Revelation chapter 11, verse 18 and 19. Chapter 11 of Revelation, verse 18 and 19. And this is what the text says. And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. And the temple of God was open in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament, and there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail. So we are looking at the judgment. Now, to just expound upon the significance of the judgment, we want to quickly go to Revelation chapter 20, verse 12 and 15, and this is going to give us more of an explanation of the judgment. Revelation chapter 20, verse 12 says, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works." And chapter 15 says, "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." So we can see how critical the judgment is. Now we're going to complement this with the Old Testament by going to Psalms 37, verse 28. And this is what King David said that echoes this. Psalms 37, and we're going to read verse 28. And this is what the psalmist says. "For the Lord loveth judgment, and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off." So again, you can see the significance of the judgment. The Lord loveth judgment. And now we will go to a break and resume after the break.
Just remember, you can email us your questions or comments at hallelujahpete@gmail.com, or you can text us with your questions or comments at 567-259-6043.
I want to encourage somebody out there who's thinking about quitting and giving up, somebody who has been praying for years for things to turn around. You're thinking about quitting, you're thinking about giving up, you are folding, you are caving in. This is for you.
You're in this storm and you're down on your knees and you're cold and you're weak. And you feel like this is the end. You have a choice to either give up or keep going. Give up or get up.
Don't give up. Don't give up. Stay in it. Stay focused.
When you fail, try again and again and again. You just take one step at a time.
It's hard, but it's worth fighting. It's worth believing. It's worth mustering yourself up, standing up inside yourself. It's worth fighting relentlessly, never giving up. I love the sun, but things don't grow because of the sun. You have to have some rain. And you've got to stop looking at rain in your life as something bad. My greatest moments didn't come from my greatest moments. My greatest moments came from my greatest defeat. Because it was during my defeat that I had to find a way to get back up. You thought for 1 minute that you broke me. You got me twisted. I am not phenomenally skilled, but phenomenally will. I will not give up. I will not surrender. I will not quit. Don't stop. Don't stop. Don't stop running towards your dream. Stay encouraged. Stay encouraged. Keep your head up. Stick your chest out. Continue to walk with pride. And know if it was easy, everybody would do it. It's not going to be easy,
but we have what it takes. Their rough times are going to come, but they have not come to stay. They have come to pass. Don't say I'm having a bad day. Say I'm having a character building day.
Don't look at night as darkness. Look at night as a new beginning.
Hey Pete, there's a question. What are characteristics of Sodom and Egypt? What are some similarities and how God dealt with them both?
Okay. Now that is a very good question. And you have to identify the symbolism with Sodom and Egypt. All right? Both were in the Old Testament. Now, the symbolism is that Egypt and Sodom were similar, if not synonymous. The things that were going on in Egypt at the time was against the Israelites. And the things that were going on in Sodom was against all of the people of the world, if you will. All of the people at that time that were area that Sodom and Gomorrah was located. The thing is that because of Lot and because of Abraham being Israelites, Sodom was against them. So the characteristics are similar. Reading one, you should look at the other as the same, meaning what happened in Egypt took 11 plagues. What happened in Sodom and Gomorrah, God just, you could say, did the 11th plague that he put on Egypt. He destroyed Sodom all at once, but he destroyed Egypt one plague at a time. I hope that I was able to answer that question adequately for the person that inquired. If not, give me an email or the like, and let me know what you think, and we can corroborate or collaborate together on that so I can hear your position more explicitly than you just hearing mine. Is there any others?
No, not at all. Continue on.
Okay, so we will now. For the benefit of the new listeners, I want to reiterate the format of the show. The first format is the stressing of the spiritual aspects of the Bible rather than the physical aspects. And the reason being, Jesus said, it is the spirit that quickeneth and not the flesh. Number two, identifying at least one instruction from every chapter, from every book of the Bible. And as you're following along, you can see, as you're reading with me, that we're going chapter to chapter. Number three, relating true and faithful sayings from the non-traditional scripture, like the Apocrypha, the Dead Sea Scrolls, the fragments of the Gospel of Thomas. Some of the theologians refer to them as Papyrus 654 and Papyrus 655. Number four, drills associated with standing on the promises of God, and we've already touched upon that tonight. Five, engaging in Bible exercises. Number six, using the New Testament to substantiate the Old Testament, meaning it's its complement, and to compare and agree is important. And number seven, using the Old Testament to substantiate the New Testament. Number eight, having open dialogue with listeners, as we just did with the listener. And all lessons are scripturally intensive. Now, the reason for this is that if you're not standing on the word of God, then you're speculating outside of the realm that is given to us through basic instructions before leaving earth. And number 10, to be innovative and provocative. Now we will continue with the study. We were at and explaining the instruction, the judgment. And we identified in Psalms 37, verse 28, that God loves judgment. So we know that the Bible also tells us that God loves righteousness. So I think that righteousness and judgment are the Alpha and the Omega of God's love. Anyway, we're going to go to Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 and 14, and hear what Solomon has to augment or add to what I just said and the revelation identifying the judgment as critical. This is what Solomon says. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty and matter of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. So my listening brothers and sisters, you can see that judgment is critical, and everything that we have done will come into judgment. So that's the significance of that instruction. Now we're going to go again. If you have any questions or comments, please get them to me. We're going to go to the next instruction. The next instruction is war in heaven. Now, this is significant, my brothers and sisters, because we're talking about the time that the seventh seal is open. And we know that the seventh seal has not been opened to date. So this war that we're talking about in heaven has not happened yet. But we're going to get to some significances in a minute. Let us go to the text, and we're going to read from Revelation chapter 12, verse 7 through 12. And this is what the Bible says. It says, "And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." And chapter 10, or verse 10 says, "And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death." And verse 12 says, "Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in heaven. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time." Now, the reason this is so significant, my brothers and sisters, is because this has not occurred yet. We know that, yes, the devil definitely is here upon the earth, because in the book of Job, God asked the devil, when the devil came before him, what was he doing? And the devil said, "I was going to and fro and up and down in the earth." So we know that the devil is here, but this war has not occurred yet, because this vision is after the seven seal is open. That's the significance of it. Now let's go and read the compliment that Isaiah gives to this in Isaiah chapter 14, and the verse is 12 through 15. And this is what Isaiah says about the same. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12 through 15. And this is what Isaiah says. If you have your Bibles open, please read along with me. "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation, the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." But listen, my brothers and sisters, this is what the prophet says. "Yet thou shall be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit." So Isaiah is telling us that this is going to occur. But I believe, my brothers and sisters, it has not occurred because of the way that the book of Revelation has been put together. And you can see that when the devil comes down to wreak havoc, his end result will be in the pits of hell. And when we further read in Revelations, we will understand that he will go into the pit. And now we'll have another break.
A.D. Williams once said, "Imagine what 7 billion humans could accomplish if we loved and respected one another. Just imagine. Imagine if there was no greed. Imagine if there was no comparison. If everyone was running their own race, but cheering for all others at the same time. Maybe we'll never see that in our lifetime. But what we all can do is start with ourselves. Start with yourself. Choose to lift others up. Choose to set the example of kindness and integrity, the example of compassion and understanding. There's a quote that says, no matter how educated, talented, rich, or cool you believe you are, how you treat people ultimately tells all. Integrity is everything. It really is. Who you are is far more important than what you have. And it will always be. Who you are is measured by how you make others feel. Be kind to each other. In a world where you can be anything, be kind. Choose to be the change you wish to see in the world. Decide you will not wait for someone else. You will set the example. Be kind. Because you never know how much that person is suffering inside. You never know the difference your words can make, the difference your presence can make, the difference you can make to one human life. Be the reason someone believes in the goodness of humanity. Be the reason someone else decides to make a difference in others. Be the influence you want to see more of. Always do what is right, not what is easy in the moment. Kindness spreads like a virus. When you do good to another, that person does better to those they come in contact with. You really can make a big difference in the world today and every other day. Anne Frank said, in the long run, the sharpest weapon of all is a kind and gentle spirit. No one has ever made themselves great by showing how small another is. Be kind and always build others up to the best of your ability. Treat everyone with the same level of kindness that you would like for yourself. Not because everyone is nice, but because you are. Because karma makes no mistakes. Because it is right. Because you have integrity. Because you want this world to be better when you leave than when you arrive.
Just remember, you can call in on area code 516-387-1627, and you can come on live with Pete and ask him your questions. Now, here's our Bible teacher. Hallelujah, Pete.
Amen. Thank you, Chris. And again, for the benefit of any of you new listeners that may be coming on the air with me at this time, I would like to give you the show's program description. The premise is this: Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, the Bible, which includes the entire review of the 66 books of the canon, according to Protestant authority using the Old King James Version, and are regulated by 5 points. Point number one is reviewing every book in the Bible from Genesis through Revelations in the order established by the teacher. Point number two, identifying instructions from every chapter out of every book according to the teacher. The instructions are the opinion, of course, of the teacher and can be added to or taken away from by the discretion of the listeners. Point three, the instructions shall be matched to both the Old Testament and the New Testament scriptures to specify an exact relationship to the testament and the instructions. Point four, to give personal interpretation of lessons by the teacher, which are open to dialogue by the listener. And point five, scriptures are used to validate all opinions. Okay, back to the study. The next instruction is the mark of perdition. That is the next instruction we're going to look at in the book of Revelations. And we're going to go to Revelations chapter 13, verse 16 through 18 to identify this mark of perdition. Revelation chapter 13, verse 16 through 18. And this is what it says. And he caused all, both in great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might sell or buy save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom, my brothers and sisters. Let him that understand count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Okay, that symbolism just draws away from the mark. The point is that those who are born again and who have the indwelling have been sealed by the Holy Ghost. And what we're going to do is we're going to, well, I'm not going to go to that part in Revelations. I'm going to save it for later that tells us about more about that. But what we're going to do now is go and read the complement to this mark of the beast. And this is what is plaguing mankind, you and me, my brothers and sisters, those who are listening to this day. We're going to go to Genesis chapter 2, verse 15 through 17. And this is what God said in the garden. Remember the curse of the Garden of Eden. It is so significant, because we have been marked from that day until this. Genesis chapter 2, and it's going to be verse 15 through 17. And this is what God said. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest eat freely, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. So my good brothers and sisters, what I'm trying to say is we have been marked with death. But that is only the physical death. The mark of perdition will also give us a spiritual death, and that's the key to the book of Revelations. If you didn't realize that we are under two death sentences, death of the flesh and death of the soul, and Jesus the Christ came back to relieve us, to pardon us from the death of the soul. So that mark of perdition in the book of Revelations is critical. Again, I say, if you have any questions or comments, please get them to me. I'm excited to hear what you have to say about that. Now we're going to go to the next instruction. And the next instruction, again, is the 144,000. This is something that has always come up in conversations among Christians about the 144,000. Let's take a look at that. The book of Revelations, chapter 14, verse 1 through 5, is where we're going to start. And this is what it says. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Sinai, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of the harpers harping with their harps, and they sang a new song, as it were, before the four beasts and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. They are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were deemed from among men being the first fruits unto God and to his Lamb. And in their mouth was no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. Now, I'm going to tell you, we're looking at the number of those who were set aside, okay? Not specifically what is symbolized here in the 144,000 in this verse 1 through 5 from Revelation chapter 4. In fact, what I want to do is go back to chapter 7 to give you some more clarity on what the book of Revelation is specifically identifying in this 144,000. This is what the book of Revelation chapter 7 says, and it is going to tell us specifically about them. It's going to begin with verse 4, and this is what it says in chapter 7. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Of the tribe of Judah were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Reuben were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Gad were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Asher were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Nephilim were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Manasseh were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Simeon were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Levi were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Issachar were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Zebulun were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Joseph were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Benjamin were sealed 12,000. So those 12 times 12 is 144,000. And so, well, anyway, that is where we are seeing that the book of Revelation is specifically talking about those tribes of Israel. But I would like to identify again that there are a number of us. They call us the remnant. And there is no number identified with the remnant. And we are just as precious to God as they are. And what I'm going to do now is compare with the Old Testament and let you hear what the prophet Daniel had to say about this sealing. We're going to go to the prophet Daniel, and we're going to go to Daniel chapter 1 and hear what the prophet prophesied. Daniel chapter 1, and we're going to read verse 6 and verse 7 and verse 8. And this is what Daniel said in his prophecy. He said, now among these were of the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, upon whom the prince of the Enochs gave names, for he gave unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah of Sedrach, and to Mishael of Meshach, and to Azariah Abednego. Now, the reason that I'm using this text is because these were special to God. Okay, just like the remnant of what we represent are special to God. So even though in the book of Revelations it talks specifically about the nation of Israel, we are included. And now we'll have another break.
I'm a country boy. I'm from West Virginia. I don't know nothing about this big time stuff. I never even asked to be big. I wanted to be effective, not famous. Famous is the consequences of being effective. I didn't know nothing about being famous, and I didn't like it. And so there I was, and when you first knew, everybody attacks you first and figures you out later. And the first time I was in the Washington Post, the article was so vicious it made me nauseous. I was so shocked that you could say that stuff about somebody you didn't even know based on assumptions and a little bit of this and a little bit of that. They piece it all together and you don't get the same thing back. So I decided I don't want this. I was preaching for Pastor Bishop Donnie Mears, and nobody knew it because preachers can override their feelings and function. That priest's place is on fire, but inside I want to quit. I told God I'm through with this. I'm not going through this. I don't need this. I don't need that. I'm a guy who likes to go get his own chicken wings. I don't have to have all of that stuff to be happy. So I said, I'm not doing this no more. I'm not doing it. I'm not doing this because I don't need this and I didn't ask for this. I'm only doing this because of what happened in my life, of the circumstances that happened in my life. He put me on stage. I didn't ask for it. And when I saw how much it cost, I thought, you can have that right back here. You can have that right back up in here. I don't need it. I was mad inside, and I was hurt. And I stayed up in the fellowship with the pastors because I didn't want to go back to my room and sulk in my own sorrows. And they said, there's a lady downstairs waiting to see you. The service was over, and the fellowship was over. The pastor's starting to leave. I was trying to outwait her. I thought she'd give up and leave. And when I finally came down the steps, she was there. And she was just a willowy bit of a woman. And she said, Bishop Jakes, she said, I've been in the hospital. She said, I was pregnant in my fallopian tubes. And the baby died in my tubes. And I was carrying around a dead baby. And the toxicity from the baby almost killed me. And she said, the only thing that kept me alive was hearing you preach. She said, if you hadn't been preaching to me every day, I swear I would have died. And then she looked at me and she said, it's for us. It's not for them. It's for us. It hit me so hard. I didn't even get her name. I got in the car and cried all the way back to my room because she reminded me why I was there. Last week when I text you, I was up in Baltimore in D.C. and I was doing a book signing. And this woman came up to the table to buy sword. She said, you don't remember me, do you? I said, no. She didn't even look like the same person. She's all dressed up and gained weight. She felt like she wanted to say. Wow. She said, I met you in the bottom of Donnie Mears' church years ago, and I burst into tears. I lost it. I stopped the signing, and I jumped up and hugged her. If it were not for that woman.
Okay.
Welcome back, Pete.
Yes, and here we go again. We're going to go into our next instruction, and the instruction is a sign from heaven. The seven last plagues. And again, as we go into this, I want to remind everyone that we're looking at things that are coming to pass. They haven't happened yet because the seventh seal has not been opened or broken. So these are visions that will occur after that seventh seal is open and broken. So the instruction is a sign from heaven, the seven last plagues. And we're going to start with Revelations chapter 15, verse 1. And this is what it says. And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. And this is what chapter 16, verse 1 tells us also. It says, and I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. And then chapter 18, verse 4 and 8, this is what it says. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not her plagues. And verse 8 says, Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. So this is telling us that when that seventh seal is open, that this is one of the occurrences that will let us know that it is about to end. Now we're going to go to the Old Testament and find a complement that points directly to this. And we're going to go to Deuteronomy chapter 28. This is where God gave to Israel a similar warning, but not as specific as we just read, or that is in Revelation chapter 15, 16, and 18 about the seven last plagues. This is what Deuteronomy chapter 28 says, and it is verse 15 where it starts, and then we're going to read verse 20 through 24. And this is what verse 15 says. And listen, my brothers and sisters, this is what Israel was given way back when. It says, "But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee." And verse 20 through 24 gives a specific, as in what Revelation 15, 16, and 18 does. It says in verse 20, "And the Lord shall send upon you these cursings, vexation, rebuke, and all that thou sittest thy hand unto for to do, until thou be destroyed, and until thou perish quickly, because of the wickedness of thy doings, whereby thou hast forsaken me. The Lord shall make the pestilence cleave unto thee, until he hath consumed thee from off the earth, whither thou goest to possess it. The Lord shall smite thee with consumption, and with a fever, and with an inflammation, and with an extreme burning, and with the sword, and with blasting, and with mildew. And they shall pursue thee until thou perish, and thy heaven that is over thy head shall be brass, and the earth that is under thee shall be iron. The Lord shall make the rain of thy land powder and dust. From heaven shall it come down upon thee until thou be destroyed." So in Deuteronomy, God pointed to this day in Revelations that it will be concluded. And during the interim, my brothers and sisters, as Jesus told his apostles, in all three of the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, when he sat at the temple and the building and the apostles asked when would the end come and the return of him, and he said that he did not know and neither did any of the angels, this is a part of what we are receiving, because Jesus said that these are just birth pains, but the end shall not come. So Deuteronomy has pointed all the way to Revelations in this instance. Again, I would like for you to give me some feedback. You know the mechanism, and if you have any questions or comments, please get them to us so we can respond to them. And now we'll go to the next instruction. The next instruction, the first battle of two battles, Armageddon. Now, a lot of you may not realize that there are two battles that are fought before the end comes, and Armageddon is but the first battle. And we're going to go to Revelation chapter 16, verse 14 through 16, to read about this first battle, Armageddon. Revelation chapter verse 14 through 16, and it says, "For they are of the spirits of devils, working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world, to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garment, lest he go naked and they see his shame. And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon." And that is the first battle. And now we're going to go to 17, verse 17 through 14, to get more information on this. And the second and the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven for the throne, saying, "It is done." And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men seen upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. So we can see that this first battle of Armageddon, again, which has not occurred yet, is something that is going to be very significant. And now we're going to go and find the complement in the Old Testament concerning it. We're going to go to Zechariah chapter 12, and we're going to read verse 8 through 11. Zechariah chapter 12, verse 8 through 11, and see how the prophet complements what we just read in the New Testament. We're going to go to Zechariah chapter 12, and we're going to read verse 8 through 11. And this is what it says in 12, verse 8 through 11. It says, "In that day shall the Lord defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and he that is feeble among them at that day shall be as David, and the house of David shall be as God, as the angel of the Lord before them. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem, and I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his own son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn." And verse 11 says, "In that day shall there be a great mourning in Jerusalem, as the mourning of Hadadurim in the valley of Megiddo." And if you look in biblical theology, you will find that Megiddo is where the Battle of Armageddon is going to take place. Okay, so that is the complement to what the first of two battles is going to cause the people that are left before the end. All right, so now we're going to go to the next instruction. Again, I'm asking those of you to get me some input, if you would, to let me know what you think about, you know, what I'm sharing with you. The next instruction is the fall of Babylon, and it is going to be taken from Revelation chapter 18. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to stop here and give you an insight of what we're going to look at in our next episode. Our next episode is going to be the end of times as we know it, the results. That is going to be the class we're going to identify, and we're going to be reviewing and looking at the last looks at the conditions of man before God climax creation as we know it. So that is what the last episode is going, or the next episode is going to bring us. And it tells us one by one God's description through Revelations how he will conclude man's existence on the earth. So that's where we're going to be when we come back at the next episode. And now, we thank you for your listening, and we're signing off.
Thank you for joining us for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, BIBLE, Blog Talk Radio Program. I hope you were blessed by our program. Please join us next Wednesday, June the 17th at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Episode 6 of Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, BIBLE.